This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. With the holidays pretty much over, y'all are probably settled back in at the office, restarting the daily grind and all that. It might be good to be back. It might not be. But either way, that life we have at the office in those cubicles is a huge chunk of our lives. And it is also the subject of a piece in the current issue of New York Magazine. It's called To the Office with Love. It's by Jennifer Senior. Jennifer, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
It does seem that we should do a little disclosure here. This is a piece about the problems that are often associated with modern office-like life, but you yourself enjoy working in an office.
Yeah. I was actually pushing against the, you know, kind of free agent nation fetishism. I wanted to celebrate the office here.
What is it, though, that we... I mean, we all hate cubicles, right? I mean, everybody hates cubicles. As much as we enjoy working in offices, and I do, I should raise my hand and say I enjoy the office environment. That whole thing about cubicles is just somehow it's become really bad.
They are the ultimate signifier for depersonalization. It's true. They're sort of the office pig, no matter how much lipstick you try to apply. What I would say, though, in defense of the sad gray cubicle, is that they're still your nest in a larger home. And if the cubicle goes away, what it means by implication is that you're not going to the office, right? You're at home. And then you have to ask what that means psychologically. If you're suddenly untethered, there's something about it that signifies permanence to people, that you go to the office and it means that you are an IBMer or a Googler. You know, that's what you are. And if you're a consultant and if you're not getting a lot of work, do you still feel like you're a graphic designer if no one's calling you? Do you still feel like you are what you are if you're not being asked to do what you do best? And if you have an office to go to, there's much less ambiguity about that question.
Which I totally get and I buy into. Why then do we in this society, and we have for so long, romanticized this idea of striking out on our own, of going that freelance route, of going that creative self-employment thing? I mean, the numbers are, you know, some 40, 50% of us say we want to be self-employed and really only 10% of us are. Why do we have that itch?
Right. Well, to some degree, our nation was predicated on this notion of self-invention and striking out on your own. So in some ways, it's just baked into our DNA. That's part of it, I suppose. But I'm just going to point out that there is this other vision of office life, which is kind of romantic. If you look at 30 Rock, it's kind of an office comedy, right? It's like the best workplace, platonic workplace romance ever between Liz Lemon and Jack Donaghy. Mad Men, which, you know, has its own perversities, is actually a strikingly lovely depiction of the office in its way. Those people are each other's families. And that relationship that, like, Don Draper and Peggy has is kind of incomparable in its in its fashion. But I think that we kind of romanticize both.
There's a class element, I guess, in this, right? The freelancer occupations of, you know, graphic designer and, I don't know, landscape architect. I mean, those are generally white collar, sort of upper class kind of things. And then you have the contingent workers, right, who are not usually as privileged, I guess we should say.
And they're the ones that I think we should be the most worried about. What I thought was interesting looking at New York City specific data is that the white collar professions here who are freelance often make more than those who are actually salaried. So if you're an artist, a freelance artist, you might do better than somebody who's, you know, on someone's payroll to do graphic design for them. If you're a food prep worker, you do worse if you're unaffiliated. So there's something especially punishing about the gig economy if you have less education and low skills. And they just do far worse in this economy. And we have nothing by way of infrastructure to help.
Jennifer Senior is a contributing editor at New York Magazine. She's also an author. Her book is called All Joy and No Fun, The Paradox of Modern Parenthood. It comes out in paperback in a couple of weeks. Jennifer, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.